Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning. Bright and early and sunny morning.
I know. Beautiful morning. Absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely. We had a little friend of ours had a filly named Absolutely Gorgeous. Do you remember that? That was Bob Murray. Bob Murray. Yeah.
Absolutely
Bob
gorgeous.
Bob founded the American Inn, as a matter of fact. Great restaurant. Anyway, that was... Ooh, look at that sun come in here.
Uh-oh, duck.
We're doing the show live this morning from 8 until 10. Right here from the Thoroughbred Center, and we're doing the break now. Jackie's here.
Sorta.
She's been clocking, and
busy. Homepage.
Matt Howard came over to help out.
Good thing.
Joe
broke 4 out of the gate on him.
Did he really?
Yes, you went out for a break real quick before the show.
Yeah, I had to prime myself for the show and hit the porta potty up there.
And he broke 4 out of the gate.
And Matt.
That'll teach him.
Matt manages the Gentry Brothers Farm right down here on Johnson Road. Right, it joins the training center, as a matter of fact, and he's a real good friend of ours. And here comes
coming
Joe.
Over to help out.
Here comes Joe Heat, our starter, up here to pick up his racing form. But we're trying to do the show. This is a first now that we have done the show live doing clocking hours on Saturday.
Yes.
So
this shall be a fiasco or it'll go all right.
We'll have to see what happens.
Or a little of both.
We'll have to see what happens because I guess we've already had about 30 works this morning, haven't we, maybe?
Yeah, more than that. I'm on page 2
There's 35 works to a page, though. So yeah. There you are. So what are we going to do today? We didn't, because of the situation, we didn't schedule any guests because we don't know if we're going to have time to talk.
It might get run over.
Never mind. But Dr. Byers is coming in, and Michael Blown, they're going to come in about 9 o'clock. And they may have to do the second hour of the show.
I put that on Facebook, that it would be Dr. Byers and Michael Blown and a cast of thousands all wanting their horses clocked immediately.
Thank goodness it's a break right now because nobody out there, but it'll fill up again. But when you got here, about 20 minutes ago, there must have been 15, 20 people up here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun place. Everybody gets on the porch.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, a good friend of mine is having a birthday. I said something about it last week, but it bears repeating. Come on in, Joe. You're not bothering anybody.
Come on.
We'll put you on the damn air.
Numerous times.
His fans are calling for his return to the airways.
Joe Heat is our starter here. Good one too, and does a lot of schooling. But
gate, that's no cinch job either.
Ooh. It's Dr. Ed Fallon's birthday. And Ed and I went to school together. He was raised on South End Town. I was over on the Mr. Hal Price Healy's Beaumont Farm. I was raised out on the North End on Dixieana. So I really didn't meet Ed although we both raised around here. But I didn't really meet Ed until we got into high school. And I made a mistake going out for football. And then he played tackle, and I played bench warmer.
That's good.
But Ed was a great guy. Everybody knew that he was going to be a vet. He knew he was going to be a vet right from the day he was born. You know, they say the first words he ever said was palpate. actually, he was one of the first to ever palpate a mare, you know. And I know there were a couple of vets down at Haggard. Of course, he was with Haggard Davidson McGee because Dr. Charlie Haggard was his uncle. And I know there was at least one vet down there that says, if that mare gets in foal, I'll eat her. And I think he had to break out
his bet back.
He had to take his bet back, yeah. So, but Ed, as I say, I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but I know exactly because he and I are the same age, and I don't want to embarrass him.
Well, you already have, so what's the difference?
All right.
Ed, his birthday is the 10th.
Well, whatever. It's close enough. Anyway, Ed, happy birthday and many more, my friend. And what else are we going to do today? Well, as I told you, Dr. Byers was coming in. Michael Bluen was coming in. We're going to have to read some Joe Palmer to fill in the gaps around. Well, one of us is clocking. And Jackie, I think I think I'll send you out.
When the track opens?
Yeah, and you can record out there, and I'll stay on here.
You mean I can clock?
You can go out and do the clocking and answer the phone and get Michael Harold Reed will be here to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Harold's very good, and so is.
They're excellent.
So is Matt.
Yeah, they're young. They can see better and hear better than I can.
Yeah, that. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Or if you want to talk to Doc, well, what the hell?
No, that would work better, and then I can do my multitudinous announcements.
Okay.
I have many announcements.
Oh.
A lot of stuff's going on. I'm really tickled. I guess a lot of stuff scheduled during Keeneland.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, and we'll have some time, I think, to do the last three-year-old filly that I want to talk about, 1957, and that was evening time. She was the second high weight that year. And then we're starting in on the older horses, which is going to be fun. And I'll talk about Bardstown.
Okay. What year was that?
1957.
Okay.
I'm still doing. I'm just going to move on to the older horses now, and I'm going to talk about Bardstown, who was gilding. Out of Twilight Tear. He was by Alibi out of Twilight Tear. And
Why'd they cut him?
Well, he had a lot of problems.
Oh.
He didn't get to the races till he was four.
Oh.
And he had ankle problems and several other things. He had a hip knockdown, too.
Really?
Yeah, as a young horse. And he got over that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I wonder how he got it back in.
I don't know. Pops back in.
We'll ask Doc when he gets here.
Yeah. That's. I know with humans, if you're... You know, a joint, one of those joints that pivots, it's like a socket, ball and socket joint. You have to pop it back in.
Yeah.
Well, you know that. That's what happened to your hip.
Yeah, but I remember him popping it back in, thank goodness.
No, I have a friend whose shoulder came out, and she rolled over and it popped in. She'd feel it click in.
Is that right?
Still hurt, yeah. But she did that just by rolling over.
Well... Yeah, it was my own fault, you know. I was staying up in the middle of the night courting up at Arlington Park and driving home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
you know,
serves you right.
Getting up at four. So.
Yeah, that's.
So I went to sleep and hit a tree.
You're a genius.
Yeah, I still own a tree up in Evanston, Illinois. You know, they charged me $40 for that damn tree I had. I swear.
Well, that's Chicago. That's the mob.
I bet you that. You're right.
You better pay it.
Yeah. Well, let's do a commercial or two. Flat Out, winner last Saturday, the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, is a 5-year-old son of Flatter. Winner also this year, the Grade 2 Suburban, second in the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational, and the Grade 1 Woodward, Flat Out, won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Drosselmeyer, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and Stay Thirsty, winner of the Grade 1 Travers. Winner of more than $1,109,000, Flat Out is being pointed to the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Flatter is the sire of 16 2011 stakes horses, and among them Tar Heel Mom, winner of the Grade 2 stakes at Saratoga, Grade 3 stakes at Gulfstream, and placed, and Grade 1 placed, incidentally. He's also the sire of the Grade 3 stakes winner and Grade 1 placed apart, and of 5 2-year-olds that have won a placed in stakes, including the undefeated Lucy's Bob Boy and Brigand, second in the Grade 3 Hollywood Juvenile Championship. Flatter, a proven Grade 1 sire, is by AP Indy out of the Mr. Prospector Mare Praise. Dam also the successful sire, congrats, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiry to Bernie Sam. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clayward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clayward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, opening day at Santa Anita, the grade $300,000 Senator Ken Matty Stakes was won by Broken Dreams, a five-year-old daughter of Broken Vow. Broken Dreams is placed in three other stakes this year, including the grade 3 Monrovia at Santa Anita. She was stakes placed at Saratoga in 2010, and she's earned over $256,000. She is one of 13 2011 stakes horses by Broken Vow, a list that includes the grade 1 stakes winner Sassy Image, winner of the Humana Distaff at Churchill and the Princess Rooney at Calder, both grade 1. She's earned more than $800,000. Broken Vow has sired some 17% stakes horses, and his 2011 stakes horses have won a place at major tracks from coast to coast, at Churchill Downs, at Gulfstream, Louisiana Downs, Calder, Woodbine, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Arlington, Hollywood Park. A proven grade 1 sire of stakes winners, Broken Vow, stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. See the website at pinoakstud.com. You want me to do a little history now?
I'm heading down the highway, happy gear in no time. Thinking of my folks.
All righty, we got all so excited about doing this show so early in the morning live that
I'm excited.
You're excited?
I'm excited out of my mind. You can't believe how excited I am.
Sorry.
Here are the winners. I forgot to announce this reason. You interrupted me. Now I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, I interrupted you. You've always lost your train of thought. Now you're blaming it on me.
Well, I was saying, I think, that I was supposed to announce this list of winners in the Thoroughbred Center, and we were so excited, da-da-da-da-da. But anyway, 52 winners last month.
That's fabulous.
We had 60 winners. In August, we had 58 winners in, what's the next month? September. But the last 3 months, we've had 170 winners.
That's wonderful.
Yes, and 4 stakes winners.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, and this month, Jesse Caudill saddled a winner down at Mountaineer. Marco Castaneda saddled a winner down at Mountaineer. Billy Harden won with United States Marine.
Well, that's great.
At Turfway. Eduardo Carramori won one at Hoosier. Bobby Sturgeon won one at Hoosier. And Paul McAtee won one at Hoosier.
Good.
With the filly named Squeezable Kid. And I thought it was a colt, but it's a filly. And the filly run a little bit. Paul's done a good job with her. Paul hadn't had his license very long. And
he's a cage fighter.
Yeah, he's a cage fighter.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What? How fast would you like this horse to be timed, sir?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You want me to do a little?
That's scary. why don't I? I don't know. What do you want me to do? I have to do these this hour, and then I can do them the next hour. You want me to go ahead and do these? Set you up for 9:30.
You want me to start with this then?
We were going to do that in the second hour. But if you want to start with
Okay. I'm going to do it now.
Okay, do it.
All right. This is from...
He changed his mind.
he's thrown me off again. this is from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association now, my good friend David Schweitzer. And these are the stakes winners from last week that were foaled in Kentucky, the Kentucky Breeders of Stakes Winners. The Grade 1 Ladies Secret Stakes out at Santa Anita went to Zazu, bred by Somerville Equine. The Grade 1 Goodwood Stakes, also at Santa Anita, Game On Dude, bred by Adina Springs. The Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes at Santa Anita was won by Creative Cause, a Giant's Causeway 2-year-old man. That's a nice coat. He's going to be tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giant's Causeway's at Ashford, and Uncle Mo's going to Ashford.
Yeah, well, Uncle Moe's going over there too at the end.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
one of our sponsors.
Yeah. Anyway, James Weagle bred Creative Cause. great colt.
Yeah.
And he I watched that race, and looks like he's one of those that the further he runs, the better he's going to get. The Indiana Derby winner was Wilburn, trained by Woodbridge Bloodstock. The Indiana Oaks winner was Juanita, trained by Padua Stables. So we've kind of monopolized Kentucky Breeds, monopolized the big races up at Indiana, at Hoosier, I should say. The Grade 2 Kelso Handicap, Uncle Mo, Indian Charlie, of course, is the sire of Uncle Mo, stands over at Airdrie. He's got 12 stakes winners this year, and six of them are graded. And he's bred, of course, by Dr. D. Michael Cavey. Grade 3 Tempted Stakes at Belmont, Believe You Can, a proud citizen. That's 8 stakes winners for him this year. And this one's bred by Brereton C. Jones. Let's see. Oh, God, we're getting into these French things now.
Oh, your French is superb, yeah. Monsieur.
As they say in France, barnyard manure. The Group 1 Prix de la Forêt, Dream Ahead, bred by Darley. The Group 1 Criterium Day was bred by, the winner was bred by Clovelly Farms. That was Elusive Kate. And this one I didn't handle because it's Canadian. The Group 3 Durham Cup at Woodbine went to City Wolf. And Adina Springs bred that one. Adina Springs had 2 graded stakes winners over the weekend that they bred.
You know, that's a nice bunch that works out there.
Yeah, they are.
And you know that Adina Springs redid Bourbon County High School's track and football field.
Yeah, real.
It looks really nice. I took Betsy over there the other day, and it's beautiful. Looks like a big deal.
Yeah, even the team playing a little bit better.
Maybe, oh, my word.
Maybe it went out and bought them some players.
That always helps.
All right, Jackie. What time's it getting to be?
Well, let me do a few, and then you can... Okay.
All right.
All right. A week from this Monday, October 17th at 6 o'clock, Old Friends is having a do at Nick Ryan's Saloon over on Jefferson Street. It's right by Stella's Deli. And it's going to honor Hall of Famer Skipaway, Precisionist, and Newer, and, of course, benefits Old Friends Farm for retired thoroughbreds. It's $50 a person. It's barbecue ribs, pulled pork, delicious sides, and beer. If you want something besides beer, you have to pay for it. So, for reservations, this is the Old Friends number, by the way. It's 502 because it's in Georgetown. It's 863 because it's in Georgetown. Two easy numbers and 1775. So, we're going. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've never been in that little...
We're going to go. That's a good time. Now, upcoming horse park events. This weekend is the end of the Kentucky Fall Classic Saddlebred Show, and it's the National Drive is going on today and tomorrow, and the Kentucky Classic Combined Drive event, and Kentucky Proud Weekend Gift Shop and Tack Shock Harvest Sale. Next week is the Kentucky Mountain Saddle Horse Association show. Now, this drive stuff is where they drive two horses, they drive pairs, they drive fours, they drive sixes. It's just an amazing thing to watch that. And another thing I want to mention is November 1st is the All-Tech National Horse Show and a black tie gala for the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. This is the big one. This, when I was growing up, this was the holy grail of horse shows. It was held in New York. It was a very hoity-toity kind of a thing. But the best horses in the world showed up for it. I mean, well, in this country. And it fell on hard times. It didn't do well. They moved it to somewhere else in New York. And it just... Anyway, believe me, here it will come back to life. So... Anyway, I wanted to mention that because 9 Olympians are going to highlight the open jumper division at the horse show, and they are going to, gee whiz, the Grand Prix has that's the one class, $250,000 in prizes. Can you imagine? And that open jumper division is $370,000 in prizes, $600,000 in prize money up for grabs. This is a big, hot number. So I would mark that calendar. I don't know how you get into the Rudy Tooty Black Tie Affair thing. I'm not invited, but maybe if you know somebody. I don't know. Maybe if you call the park. But they are having 9 Olympic riders in that open jumper division. That's going to be the thing for that weekend. Let's see. United States Sportsman's Alert Network. Anti-hunters are once again barking at the city limits over at Frankfurt. So there are so many sandhill cranes, they wanted to start hunting them in a very restricted manner because they're overpopulating. That's what they do with everything. It's a good control. But these people aren't even against that. They want all hunting to be banned. This is the loony left. Sorry. If you live here, who you need to call is Alice Forgy Kerr or Robert Dameron. Now, Alice Forgy Kerr is the representative from Lexington. Robert Dameron is the representative in Nicholasville. The rest of them are like, I don't know, Owensboro Glass. Anyway, it's the Administrative Regulation Review Subcommittee, and, you know, it'd be a good idea to, you know, use your phone. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a lot of sire power in the pedigree of First Defense. He's the son of Unbridled Song, by Unbridled, out of a daughter of Cairo. On the dam side, you'll find the names of Seattle Slough, El Grand Señor, In Reality, Empire Maker, Chester House. Doesn't get any better than that. The dam of First Defense won Grade 1 stakes in over 894,000. His second dam won Grade 1 stakes and was a broodmare of the year. That's the Great Toussaint. Dam of 4 Grade 1 stakes winners, a Grade 2 stakes winner, 2 successful sires, and a classic winner. With such a pedigree, First Defense couldn't miss. And he didn't. He won Grade 1 stakes sprinting, won stakes around 2 turns, and consistently displayed brilliant speed. 7 furlongs and won 20 and 4, 121 and 2, and then won 22 and 1. 3 different tracks. First crop yearling for First Defense sold for $165,000 and $110,000 at Keenan. His 2011 stud fee was just $7,500 live foal. Stands at Judmont Farm with a proven grade one sire, Mizzenmast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Ann Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, associates of McCauley Brothers garnered 7 stakes wins over the past weekend. 6 came in graded stakes, 2 in grade 1 stakes. Game On Dude, bred by Adina Springs, won the grade 1 Goodwood Stakes at Santa Anita, and the grade 1 Lady Secret Stakes, also at Santa Anita, went to Zazu, bred by Summerhill Equine and raised at Gainesway Farm. Eclipse Award winner Uncle Mole, winner of the grade 2 Kelso at Belmont, was bred by Dr. Michael Cavey and raised at Glencrest Farm. The winner of the Grade 2 Indiana Oaks at Hoosier, Juanita, was bred by Padua and raised at Three Chimneys. At Belmont, Believe You Can, bred by Burton C. Jones, won the Grade 3 Tempted Stakes. The Grade 3 Durham Cup at Woodbine, City Wolf, was the second graded stakes winner of the day for Adina Springs. And the Ascot Graduation Stakes winner with Council was bred by Summer Wind Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to develop products exclusively for the horse. For more information about the McCauley products, contact Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Giant's Causeway is, once again, the leading sire in North America. He is also the leading sire 2011 stakes winners. And the best 2-year-old in the West is Creative Cause, winner last Saturday at the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes and a son of Giant's Causeway. Noble Causeway is also a Grade 1 son of Giant's Causeway. And his first 2-year-old's race was showing good promise this year. He's the sire of 5 winners to date. 6 others have placed. 1 has won stakes. 2 others have stakes placed. Like their sire and like their grandsire, they are demonstrating a liking for a distance of ground. Creative Cause's Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes came in his first start around 2 turns, and also, incidentally, in his first start on dirt. So Noble Causeway is by a champion sire of a hard-hitting daughter of the top sire seeking the goal, and a Grade 1 Stakes winner, Classy Kathy, by private account. He has 3 stakes horses in his first crop, and he's a superb individual. Sold for $1,150,000 as a yearling. He stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. I want to say a little something about a friend of ours that just passed away, Fred Jalicki, who trained. I didn't get to know Fred for too long, but he was an extremely nice person, and his wife, Kim, is a lovely lady. Trained out here, and everybody liked him.
Absolutely.
Everybody. And Frank just passed away, and visitation was last night over in Georgetown, and we stopped by. But anyway, the funeral is, if you can make it, it's today at 1 o'clock at the St. John's Catholic Church down in Georgetown, Kentucky. Frank was from Minnesota, and he's had some really nice horses down through the years, and he wasn't that old.
No.
But we were very fond of him, and just in the brief time that we got to know him. And
well, our condolences to the family.
Yes, exactly.
All right, shall I carry on?
You want me to go out there and do that, or? We were going to talk about that earlier.
Well, you were going to stay here and do that, and I'm going to go out and scribe.
Okay. All right.
We're not changing it again.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of sweating this.
Stop it. October 29th.
I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to feel embarrassed sitting in here doing this while you're out there clocking. But you got all kinds of help out there.
Well, work on it. Talk to yourself. Build yourself up.
Rest, give yourself, you want to do the show? Why don't you and Mary Jane talk back and forth?
Where's Michael?
Probably be much better than this.
Yeah, probably would.
Okay,
go
before
ahead.
The gate opens, the Central Kentucky Riding for Hope Halloween Trail Ride, which is such a blast. Everywhere the kids go, and they all dress up, and they have their used tax sale and ride-a-thon. Bring your horse, and you get to ride through the horse park. It's a great bunch of fun. You can pre-register, or you can, when you get out there, you have, also, it's a used tax sale. Please, if you've
She's
got
coming.
A used tack or anything, take it out there. Call Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. You can follow the signs and get up there and look at their beautiful facility. They got a new barn and arena and stuff. So, anyway, I guess I better go out and do stuff.
Well, they're not out here yet. Yeah, here they come.
Here
you better
come.
Get on out there, Jackie.
Okay. Have fun.
That leaves me here all by my lonesome.
Yeah, read some history or something.
All righty. Well, I might do it. Till Michael and Doc get here. We'll see what we can do. I'm going to get the 3-year-old filly out of the way anyway. And the 3-year-old filly from the year 1957. She was the second high weight on the free handicap under. Gee whiz, who was it here? Okay, here comes Mike Cameron, and here comes everybody up here. Bayou, of course, the Hill Prince filly was the top weighted 3-year-old filly in 1957, and Evening Time was the second high weighted with 115 pounds, 2 pounds below Bayou. And then here it was Here and There with 114 Market Basket, and with 114 and Romanita with 114. Romanita by Roman Moore, she could fly. Here and There was by Middle Graham out of Scattered, who was a stakes winning daughter of Whirl Away, and there weren't a whole lot of stakes winners by Whirl Away. But anyway, it was tragically Here and There, she raced for King Ranch, and she died in a fire the night after she had won the Alabama Stakes. So that was a big loss to King Ranch. So let me talk a little bit about Evening Time, who was she was by Citation out of Darby Dindon, by Blenheim the Second, bred and owned by Darby Dan Farm. Of course, at that time that was John W. Galbraith. John, what was this fellow's name? John Long, I believe it was, the trainer. And Mr. Galbraith had bought Darby Dindon from Claiborne Farms, consignment to the 1943 Saratoga sales at Keeneland. That was during the war, and they had the sale down here. And he paid $6,600 for her. She won for racing for them. She won the Columbiana Handicap. And prior to Evening Time, she had produced Clear Dawn, who had won stakes back in 1951. She won the Miss Woodford Stakes, Clear Dawn. And she won the Newcastle, and the Black Helen also, as far as that goes. She was a real fine race mare. Evening time, won two of her three starts as a two-year-old, and in her third start, only one time she was beat, she ran third in the Rancocas Stakes. 1957, which is, of course, the subject year, she ran against the best of her sex and age, and although, you know, her form was very inconsistent, she ran three races, which gave her her high rating on the year-end handicap among three-year-old fillies. She won the Betsy Ross, which, of course, is a Garden State. There was one by a length and a quarter over a filly named Marula. I Offbeat was second, Light and Lovely ran third. Heart's Desire, Mademoiselle Diane, Nile Lily, and five others in the field. And then she was second, got beat a nose after a stretch-long duel to Romanita. Romanita raced for Reverend Noel Farm. Reverend Noel was down in Danville, Keeman Freeze. And anyway, that was in the Monmouth Oaks. Market Basket and Here and There, Williamette, Bayou, Look Forward, Mademoiselle Diane, Ambulance, and Magic Forest were also in the field. In the Gazelle Handicap, she won that one by a length and a half. Pink Velvet was in there, Outer Space, Snow White, Romanita, and others. 15 starts as a three-year-old, she had a pair of wins, and six times she ran third. So she was a pretty nice filly. I think it was kind of a weak year for fillies as far as that goes. Of course, they ran the Alcibiades out there yesterday out at Keeneland. And running the Breeders' Futurity, it's the Dixiana Breeders' Futurity today as far as that goes. And Dixiana won it a couple of times back down through the years. Ran second in the first one, as a matter of fact, in 1938 with Johnstown for Bill Ayrst. Jimmy Stout rode him. And, of course, Johnstown the next year won the Derby and the Belmont Stakes. Turned out he had a wind infliction, but he went to stud and did very well at stud, as a matter of fact. Dixiana ran second with a high-time colt. I think he was a gelding, to tell you the truth, named Allegro. And I've got a beautiful picture, color picture. This was 1938, 39 when he was racing. He went on and won stakes. He was a sprinter. Like, well, most of the high times were. So of course, Saracen could do pretty near anything. But anyway, I've got a color picture of him taken out at Keeneland. Lightspur ran third. I don't know who Lightspur was. And let's see, Dixiana won it. They ran second again in 1942. Occupation won it. He raced for John Marsh in Burley Park training. Amberlight was second. He was by Amberlight. I mean, he was by Pilot out of a mare named Red Sunset by High Time. And boy, he was as mean as a snake. And he had won the next year. He won the Louisiana Derby. As a matter of fact, now he was a nice horse, but boy, he was some kind of a mean horse. They would turn him out, and the only way you could get him is you'd have to go out there with a whole bunch of carrots and just keep stuffing carrots in his mouth. He got a groom down, and Jack Hodgins was training him. Had got a groom down in the stall, and Mr. Hodgins had to go in there and beat him off, you know, with a twitch, and to pull the groom out. Hurt him real bad. But anyway, he could run a little bit. He had one virtue anyway. Let's see, Durazno, the top of Mr. Brownell Combs filly, won in 1943, beating Occupy. Occupy was a full brother to the 42 winner, Occupation. He was also, they had another full brother named Preoccupy. And let's see, what else did Dixiana do? They won it. Oh, I remember this little horse real well. Shy Guy. He was by Chaladonna at a Tootsie Cake out of a High Time mare, named Tootsie Cake, as I said, raced for Dixiana. Steve Brooks rode him. And he was another little horse that had kind of a bad temperament. And they had him out at the farm, and I would take him out and graze him. And he was there for a rest. He beat Carrera Marble, who was a very fast sprinter. Boy, the clocker stand's filling up now. It's out there. Who? Anyway, he was a tough little racehorse, real game little horse, shy guy was. And he was the 1947 winner. And then, of course, Fred Hooper won it in 1948 with Olympias on a Heliopolis. And he beat Johns Joyce on a Bulldog and Fleeting Star, the son of Count Fleet. And Olympia was by, well, of course, turned into a top sire, stood out at Danada Farm, Danada Rice's farm out on the Paris, old Frankfort Pike, part of the old Idlehour farm out there. Pup Endicott was the manager. Pup was an awful nice guy. Hey, I better take a break here and do some commercials. Jack, what? Uh-oh. Oh, we had a horse pull up bad out here. But anyway, they've had to stop training for momentarily. You back in here now, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. So, what are you doing?
Wait a minute. What am I doing? I was looking at, I'm getting ready to do some commercials. I was looking at the old Arlington Futurity.
How
I mean,
good.
Breeders Futurity. Have they got a... Jackie, take that outside for them. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I hate to see that. It doesn't happen out here very often. It just doesn't. This track is a very safe track. And we won't lose 2-3 horses a year out here from the amount of traffic. You know, 900 head of horses out here. That's... and usually... Well, I won't say it, but anyway. Well, Albertus Maximus ran a mile and 1:33.2 to win Grade One Breeders' Cup Mile at Oak Tree. He also won the Grade One Don Handicap at Gulfstream, so he was a Grade One Stakes winner on dirt and on artificial. He won at the highest level, earned over $1,328,000, and he's to stand his first season at stud in 2012, free to approved mares. Now, that bears repeating. He's going to stand free to approved mares. Now, Albertus Maximus is one of 2 millionaires, sired by the $3 million winner, Albert the Great, and he's out of the good race mare, Chase the Wild Wind. She won right at $100,000, and she is a daughter of 49er. The second dam, Race the Wild Wind, isn't that a good name? Won Grade One Stakes, earned over $458,000. And she produced also King Charlemagne, a Group 1 Stakes winner in France, and a Group Stakes winner in England and in Ireland. She also had a horse named Meshahir, who was a Group Stakes winner in England and a Group 1 placed in France. And she's the grand dam of the top sprinter. Here comes Ben, who won the Grade 1 Forgo Stakes up at Saratoga. So here's Albertus Maximus. He's a multiple Grade 1 Stakes winner. He's from a family loaded with Grade 1 Stakes performers. And he's going to stand free at Shadwell Farms. For more information, get in touch with Kent Barnes out at Shadwell Farms. See the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quillen Leather and Tack, my favorite tack shop, thank you very much, is located in Paris, Kentucky. It's a fabulous place. They have the best leather worker people in the world. What do you call those leather worker people?
People who work with leather.
That's very good. I'm proud of you. Now, really, Wayne's down there and all the guys, and they do a beautiful job. They do 17,000-plus halters a year, ship them all over the world. All the big fancy sales and race meets and everything, there's sale halters, and they make race halters, and they make turnout halters, and weanlings, and mares, and foals, and everything. So, and they've got a terrific gift shop, and they're lovely people to work with. That's the nicest bunch. You walk in there, and it's just like, it's just very friendly and nice. If you want to go and check it out, go straight into Paris. Don't take the bypass. Go down. It's the third light once you hit Paris. It's over on the left. It's opposite Ken's Supermarket. You can't miss the big Ken sign. And they're also online, www.quillin.com. That's Quillin.com. And the local phone number is 987, which is everything in Paris. Easy to remember, 987-0215.
Well, last weekend at Woodbine, the $150,000 Carrotine Stakes was won by Indian Pond, a 3-year-old filly by Sprightstown. Bred and owned by Eugene Melnick and trained by Mark Cassie, Indian Pond is 3-for-3 this year. She's one of 10 2011 stakes winners by Sprightstown. Another 12 have placed in stakes. By my count, that's 22 stakes horses this year. He has sired the winners of over $6 million in 2011 to climb to 9th on the North American sire list. Now, Sprightstown also won, ranks high on the 2-year-old sire list with 13 winners, 2 stakes winners, and 2 others that have placed in stakes. One of his 2-year-olds, Bapak Chinta, is undefeated in England and has won the Group 2 Norfolk Stakes. So Sprightstown is gaining an international reputation. The sire of 4 Group 1 stakes winners, Haynesfield at Belmont, Lord Shanakill in France, Jersey Town at Aqueduct, and Mona de Mama at Churchill Downs. Eclipse Award winner Sprightstown is one of the nation's elite sires, and he is the most successful son of sire of sires gone west. Stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to my friend Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. You know, Jackie, we were talking about the Breeders' Futurity. And the first one at Keeneland was in 1938. But prior to that, you know, they ran it at Latonia and I believe at Kentucky, the Election Association Track, Kentucky Association Track. But anyway, we've got a picture of the 1934 Breeders' Futurity at home with Matt O'Hara winning it.
Yes,
beating no less than a horse named Discovery. To beat the Colts that day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's a great old picture, and we've never have gotten it framed yet. It was given to us by, you know, and, we need to get it framed.
Yes, we do. We have a lot of great old pictures. In the old days, they put them from the racetracks. They were black and white, and they put them in cardboardy kind of black and white.
Yeah.
Gray.
Wrote on the
frames
ink.
And
on
wrote
the bottom.
On there real fancy ink and real fancy pen. So when you get those framed, you have to include the frame itself in the new frame under glass because otherwise you lose that
authenticity.
Touch.
Authenticity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful. We've got one of Pappy Pierrette that's just hysterical.
Yeah, that's Nicole Pierrette's great grandfather.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we got more than that. We've got 5. We must have a dozen pictures of Pappy.
Yeah.
What
and
a
they're
great
all
old
black
man
and
he was.
White. Yeah. And the clothes and everything. It's just wonderful. The horses always look the same, but the people always look different because of the style of clothes and stuff.
Well, I have a picture of the first foal side by and the first winner side by Whirlaway. And he was named, appropriately enough, First Whirl.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think when that picture was taken. I think like in 1943, 1944, maybe.
Yeah.
Right in that, maybe 45, right in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a story behind him. They needed a test mare.
Uh-huh.
And Dixiana sent him a thoroughbred mare out there as a test mare. And this was in the fall, of course. And then this thing, you know.
Gotten full, and there he was, a yearling.
Yeah, he was a yearling when he was about 2 months old. And, you know, and doggone if they didn't charge him a stud fee. The old man fussed about that.
That's funny.
Said a damn about me.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Now they use Appaloosas and stuff for test mares.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that was.
I think that was an Appaloosa mare they used on Secretariat.
Steve Brooks, was riding him that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some good old pictures. I've got a picture of Sirocco beating Bimelec in the 1940 Arlington Classic.
We have just.
With George Wolfe up.
Georgie Wolfe, yes. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
But we need to get this. I have to call out to Peggy Manus out in Midway in her photography shop because Jim is an excellent framer.
I'm sure Jim will give us a discount.
I'm sure, uh-huh. But we need to do one at a time. We'll take out a loan and get our pictures done, and then we'll move on to getting the fences done. Jeez. Okay, who's next?
Well, let's see. and talk a little bit more about some Breeders' Futurity winners.
Or I can do the rest of these announcements.
Okay. All right. If you want to do that, go ahead. You can do that.
Okay. Now, this is interesting. The horses have been added to the Kentucky Proud program. And we heard that the other night and wondered what that meant. And it's just supports Kentucky products. And Keep and the Kentucky Horse Council worked for years to do this. And so it's kind of a nifty thing. What they do, I think, is joint advertising. And you could, whatever you got to sell, if you put that little logo up, you see it everywhere, Kentucky Proud. You get to use that, and it's just benefits everybody all the way around. It's generated more than $200 million in retail sales of Kentucky farm products through member retailers. You get a lot of truck farmers and stuff, people that are doing that sort of thing. You know, it's a good thing. So, let's see. Oh, Maker's Mark Secretariat Center is having an open house Saturday, October 15th from 9 to 1. The trainers are going to show horses for 15, 20 minutes, ride them out and do stuff with them, and see if anybody'd like to adopt them. That's kind of a nice idea. There'll be fabulous door prizes with a reception. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, give Melissa DiCarlo a call at 246-3080. Now, this is something I've never heard of. Kentucky Horse Park is going to have 4 rare Marwari horses on permanent loan from Francesca Kelly, who imports this breed from India. 3 of them are already there. She has them on Chappaquiddick. We all heard of Chappaquiddick. Anyway, she's a writer, and she's trying to preserve the breed. And they're from India. They're native to India. And she has a small herd, and she's letting the horse park have 3 mares and a yearling. So the Kentucky Horse Park is the only known location in North America where Marwari, if I have no idea how to pronounce that. But anyway, that's a very nice thing. It's they run in all colors, but they have a lot of albinos. In India, they're used for religious purposes and ceremonies. So that's a kind of an interesting thing to go see. Take your kids out to see that. There's a picture of one. It looks like a paint with a white eye. No. Oh, the Lexington Mounted Police Sensory Clinic will be held October 16th and 17th at the Horse Park. You want to register early. Now, what this is, when you get horses for police duty, they have to be trained to accept and work in all sorts of strange conditions. Rioters, crowd control, and they have to walk around a lot of traffic and so on and so forth. But they do this for people who have horses, that it helps desensitize your horse so it doesn't look at every silly thing that it sees coming down the road or when you're riding. So this is October 16th and 17th. It's $150. And it's worth every penny, I'll tell you. So if you want to give somebody a call, call Ann Anderson at 299-5744. Or you can always call the Horse Park and they'll hook you up with those. Now, the NTRA Racing, National Thoroughbred Racing Association is having a safety and integrity professional education seminar. It's October 18th and 19th. It's at Keeneland. It's no fees. It's open to the public. Who should attend? Trainers, farm owners and managers, veterinarians, aftercare professionals, and racing officials. So, keynote speakers, Donna Barton, and they're going to have a old friends tour and barbecue on Tuesday evening. That would be the 18th. How about that? So, call Casey Hamilton if you're interested, 422-2627.
Well, Arch is the sire of Grade One stakes winners around the world. His progeny has won Grade One stakes at Oak Lawn, Churchill Downs, Del Mar, Woodbine, Belmont, Saratoga, Royal Ascot, Newmarket, South Africa. He's the sire of the 2010 Eclipse Award winner, Blame. And he's the sire of the 2011 Grade One stakes winner, Arch, 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 who is to stand his the 2012 season at Spendthrift Farm. Arch, Arch, Arch broke his maiden sprinting as a two-year-old, won the Sugar Bowl Stakes at the Fairgrounds in his second time out, then at three won the Grade Three Southwest Stakes at Oak Lawn and the Grade One Arkansas Derby over a field that included Kentucky Derby runner-up Nehru and a Grade One Stakes winner, The Factor. Arch, Arch, Arch suffered a career-ending injury in the Kentucky Derby when he stumbled leaving the gate, and he brings to stud proven Grade One performance, a superior pedigree and stunning confirmation. His dam, a stakes place winner of nearly 300,000, is out of Grade One stakes winner Pattern Step, a daughter of the great Nureyev. There are 16 black type performers under Pattern Step's name, including two others sired by Arts, to running family. Grade One stakes winner Arch, 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 Grade One stakes winner Court Vision by Gulch, Grade One stakes winner Dublin by a Fleet Alex, Grade One stakes winner Patio Prado by El Prado, and Grade One stakes winner Tisway by Tisnow are the new additions to the Spendthrift Stallion Roster for 2010. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fells, or Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts. The only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3 year olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, I want to talk about my friend Ron Wallace, who formed the firm of Equine Farm Management way back in 1995. I was just a little bitty boy then.
Yeah, you wish.
Boy, that brought out some snickers. Anyway, he's really done well in doing with his firm. He helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms by designing horse farms or improving horse farms where it makes everything run smooth as silk. And right now he's running Chateau Claire Farm, and of course that's Prince Saud bin Khalid, who just passed away, and they're having a dispersal out of Keeneland in November, and he's taking care of that among those the horses in there, Royal Delta, who is a Grade One stakes winner. And she just ran second in the Beldame the other day. I'm pretty sure that's what that was. And anyway, she's top mare, well-bred mare, and Ron's in charge of that. He's got, experience from working at Judmont Farm and Three Chimneys Farm, and that's how he got his horse experience, which is extensive. And, of course, he's highly educated, and his firm, the Equine Farm Management firm, has done business with, besides Chanticleer, people like Live Oak Stud down in Florida, Autumn Winds Farm, Paladese Investments up in New York, Elm Tree Farm over in Paris, Kentucky, Summer Wind Farm, it's a gorgeous place down there. Hurricane Hills, right up here on Paris Pike, is another gorgeous place. So if you're buying a farm and you haven't had it set up yet and you want to make sure it's set up just right, here's a guy that can really help you. If you want to improve your farm, he can help you there too. He knows all who the good contractors are, the fencers, the builders, and people that you can trust.
And that kind of makes
that makes a lot of sense.
Yes,
because especially if you bought a farm and you're from out of town, you don't know who to trust.
Right, and this is a guy that you can. Let me tell you how to get in touch with him. His website is equinefarmmanagement.com, and his phone number, it's a cell phone now, it's an 859 number. It's 621-1655. Ron Wallace, Equine Farm Management. All right, Jackie.
Okay, Horses and Hope, a joint program from the First Lady's office, that's Jane Beshear, and the Kentucky Cancer Program is going to have a free all-day mammogram screening and health fair for employees of Keeneland and surrounding horse farms. Now, this is Monday. Of course, it's dark at Keeneland. Monday, October 24th at the Sales Pavilion. Starts at 8:30, goes to 4. Free or low cost for eligible women. So we'll keep announcing this. It's a great thing. Jane Beshear's doing a super job with that. They had a good turnout at their Riding for Hope. Riding for Cancer. What did they call that? Anyway, they had a trail ride. A lot of participants went at the horse park, and everybody dressed up in pink. They braided the horses' manes in pink, that kind of stuff. It was a fun thing. And it was, well, good turnout. Okay, the Thoroughbred Horse Show Association has been created to develop opportunities for thoroughbreds beginning show careers. This is a super idea. So a group of Central Kentuckians interested in creating opportunities to showcase the talent and competitive spirit. This is, you adopt them, and then you kind of retrain them and take them to shows and stuff. And this is the kind of thing where they'll have shows. You compete against other thoroughbreds, like off-the-track thoroughbreds and stuff. I think it's a wonderful idea. You need to call 421-8710. Jan Reel, I guess, R-O-E-H-L is her name. That's pretty neat. 421-8710. That's such a good idea because there's so many thoroughbreds that need adopting. Now, here's one that'll blow your mind. When you sell a yearling, you can hit a checkoff 0.25% NTRA checkoff program that supports the NTRA's legislative and government relations work. Here's one for you. Our friend, the friendly federal government's Department of Labor, has proposed wage hikes for backstretch workers, which will double your little salary cost by 45% in Kentucky. Aren't they kind? So, NTRA is coordinating with horsemen to join in a lawsuit against these people. And
The country's being run by bureaucracies.
Yeah, now. This is going to raise your price. It's all, people are having a hard time paying the hay man and the feed man. What did straw cost for something, a bale now? And this is just one more meddling, overreaching, grasping arm of the your friend. And we're doing it for your good, federal government. So you might want to consider the 0.25% checkoff at the sales for the NTRA.
Now, what you have to do, you know, in that case, you know, if you've got grooms rubbing three horses, you know, and you fire a groom and let the groom rub four.
Or six. Exactly.
Yeah.
They think people don't react to this kind of stuff, and it's insane. The unintended consequences, once again. Okay, Old Friends Calendar Project is up and running. The 2012 calendars are available for $25. And you can get them by calling Old Friends, which is 502-863-1775. Or you can Google Old Friends Equine.
Top of the hour, Jackie. October 2 at Belmont Park, the Grade 3 $100,000 Miss Grillo Stakes was won by Pure Gossip, a two-year-old filly by Pure Prize. Pure Gossip won her first start at Saratoga by nearly four lengths, and she won the Miss Grillo by 6.5 with an explosive bid at the direct expense of fillies by Scat Daddy and Langford. She is the 32nd stakes winner by Pure Prize and his 10th 2011 stakes winner. Pure Prize by Stormcat out of Champion Heavenly Prize by Seeking the Gold stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Your inspection is invited. And while there, inquire about the Vinery Racing Partnerships and check out the Vinery facilities. The Vinery staff in Kentucky, in Florida, in New York stand ready to handle your every need in the thoroughbred business, and here's a pledge to you. They'll do everything in their power to make your journey in the business enjoyable and profitable. Just talk to John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Rillihan or Grant Williamson at Vinery, Kentucky. The number, 455-9388. Check the website, vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was won by Uncle Mole, last year's champion two-year-old and a son of Indian Charlie. Uncle Mole led from wire to wire to win by three lengths under a hand ride, covering the mile in, on a muddy track in 1:33.4, posting a 1:18 buyer. Whew. The Kelso was a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup mile, but he'll probably go in the Classic. Bred by Dr. Michael Cavey and trained by Todd Pletcher, Uncle Moe's 2010 Eclipse Award was the fourth for the progeny of Indian Charlie. In other weekend stakes, the grade $300,000 attempted at Belmont was won by Believe You Can, a two-year-old filly, a proud citizen. And the $150,000 Presque Isle debutante went to Citizen Advocate, yet another two-year-old filly, a proud citizen. Bred by Braden C. Jones and trained by Larry Jones, Believe You Can went into the tempted off two straight wins at Delaware. Citizen Advocate, bred by Peter Vegso Racing Stable and trained by David Vivian, has won three in a row, including the Catch a Rising Star Stakes down at Calder. Eclipse Award sires Indian Charlie and Proud Citizen stand at Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Well, I need to get Jackie. Go over and get Jackie back in here. We're not, nothing's going on right now. She can come back in and finish these announcements. Rissy, would you please? Sitting out there just gabbing away. Got a new little EMS here today, a medic. And she's out here talking to her. Where in the hell did you go?
I went and hid.
Well, wait a minute. Well, let me get your mic on here. Rissy can't do everything. There we go.
All right. I went and hid.
What'd you hide for?
Nothing. I just went out to see what was going on.
All right.
Hanging out on the porch. Okay. Kathy Murphy, dear friend Kathy Murphy.
What's Kathy doing?
Kathy is having a hunter place at her place at the Kathy Murphy Stables out in Hunt Country, out, what's the name of that road? Out near Coy Country. Sunday, October 23rd at 12 noon. Hunter paces are a lot of fun.
Ethan Tabunabar?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need to find her exact address because it's fun. It's like a fall picnic to go to those things. And she'll have stuff to eat. And it's a big friendly competition. People that hunt, you know, and they do pairs and they go over some hunt country and stuff. Anyway, that's Sunday, October 23rd at 12 noon. And today and tomorrow is Joyce Brinsfield's big horse show, the Bally High Classic. That's today and tomorrow. I'll tell you how to get there, too. It's a lovely day to go sit and watch. You go to Versailles, toward Versailles, and get off on the Bluegrass Parkway and to the first exit, which is Route 33. And turn left, head away from Versailles. And the road goes down a ways and it splits. And take the left split, and she's down there on the right. Now, Toba is having a pedigree and confirmation clinic. That's Monday, this coming Monday, and Tuesday, October 10th and 11th, in Lexington. And includes two horse farm tours. The topics include inbreeding, line breeding, outcrossing, nicking, and more. Confirmation topics include the identification of common conformational traits, live evaluations of a horse, and they'll point to it. And they'll say, this leg is on backwards or whatever. And then you say, aha, that's what that looks like. To register, visit www.toba.org or give them a call, 276-2291. Somebody's phone's ringing.
That's the clocker phone.
Oh.
They're getting it.
Oh, okay. They got it.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty much it. I was talking about Jim Manus out in Midway, downtown Midway.
Michael.
Does wonderful framing. And, of course, Peggy does beautiful photography. So their phone number is 846-9343. Or drop by, have lunch in Midway. And speaking of lunch in Midway, remember the Black Tulip? Yo, remember the Black Tulip?
Absolutely.
Of course you do. Absolutely fantastic food. And Spencer Vandenduul was the chef. Well, the Black Tulip is no longer, but the Tulip Bistro and Bar and Spencer Vandenduul is alive and kicking. They're doing well. They're on Romney Road. They're over in Chevy Chase in Lexington, 355 Romney. It's that little section there, sort of a little villagey kind of a section. They have great food. They have a patio. You can sit out there. Days like this, it's wonderful. I would get a reservation on a day like this because Keeneland, and everybody knows about Spencer and what good food it is. So if you're interested, and they do really, oh, they do a lot of seafood and stuff like that. It's great food. It's delicious. They're 355 Romney Road. You can go to thetulipbistroandbar.com or give them a call, 367-6687. That's 367-6687.
All righty. Here
food.
Here comes Doc and
it makes me hungry,
Michael Blowing as we speak. But I'll tell you what, I'll just go on and do this set of commercials and we can sit down and talk to Michael.
Yeah, I'm drooling now on this microphone after talking about the Tulip.
Oh, that's good. That's good food over there, too.
Oh.
Nice people run it, too.
Yeah, it's a very pleasant place.
Well, flat out winner last Saturday, the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup is a 5-year-old son of Flatter. Winner also this year, the Grade 2 Suburban, second in the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational and Grade 1 Woodward, flat out, won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Drosselmeyer. Of course, he won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. And Stay Thirsty, and he won the Travers Grade 1. A winner of over $1,109,000 flat outs being pointed to the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. And I wish him luck. Nice people own him. Flatter is the sire of 16 2011 stakes horses, including Tar Heel Mom, winner of the Grade 2 stakes at Saratoga, Grade 3 stakes at Gulfstream, and Grade 1 placed. Also the sire of the Grade 3 stakes winner and Grade 1 placed apart this year, and of 5 2-year-olds that have won a place in stakes in 2011, including undefeated Lucy's Bob Boy, and Brigand. I think should say it, pronounce that Brigand. Whatever. B-R-I-G-A-N-D. It's a pirate. Second in the Grade 3 Hollywood Juvenile Championship. Flatter, a proven Grade 1 sire, is by AP Indy. Out of the Mr. Prospect America praise, the dam also of the top sire. Congrats. And he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Creative Cause, winner October 1 of the Grade 1, $250,000 Norfolk Stakes at Santa Anita. And City Wolf, winner October 2, that's the next day, of the Grade 350,000 Durham Cup at Woodbine, are both sired by Giants Causeway. Creative Cause, bred in Kentucky by James C. Weigel, won the Norfolk by 3.25 widening lengths over Drill, winner the Grade 1 Del Mar for Tour de. It was his first start on dirt, first start around two turns, and his second stakes win. He won the Grade 2 Best Pal Stakes at Del Mar back on August 7th. And he is, of course, a serious threat for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. City Wolf, bred in Kentucky by Adina Springs, has posted four consecutive wins to become his sire's 108th stakes winner. Dines Causeway is the nation's leading sire on the general sire list and the leading sire 2011 stakes winners. Also ranked among the top 20 leading sires are the Ashford Stallions Tail of the Cat, 8th, Fusa Ichi Pegasus, 11th, and Grand Slam, 16th. And the number one ranked sire on both the juvenile sire list and the freshman sire list, Scat Daddy, with 3 first crop stakes wins, all 3 graded stakes winners. He's also the leading sire 2-year-old winners with 19. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you never cheat on me. Tell me that.
Michael Braun has arrived. He's reading the racing form over here, and Dr. Byers has just pointed out that you didn't mention where Uncle Moe was going. And I did too, Doc, because he's going to...
And I got an appropriate lecture.
Yeah.
You already had.
Going to Ashford Stud. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice horse.
We're talking to Uncle Moe's doctor over here too. So,
For a period of time.
Yeah. He sure looked good the other day, didn't he?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know.
I hope he gets a mile and a quarter. Everybody's saying he can't, but I don't see why. Hell, Indian Charlie ran third in the Derby. Mm-hmm. The last time I looked, it was a mile and a quarter. You know, but...
ran well in the Derby, too. He'll get a mile and a quarter.
I would think so.
They always say things like that. I don't know where they come up with them.
Oh, well, there's so many experts in the world, you know. Yeah, I've lived long enough.
The numbers guys.
I've lived long enough to know I don't know anything. You know,
that's what we all have in common, except for Doug.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a horse race if we didn't have all those experts.
Well, that's true.
You know?
That's true. But speaking of 2-year-olds, though, I mean, of course, he was a champion 2-year-old last year, but that Giants Causeway, did you all see him win that race in the Norfolk Stoke?
I didn't, but I read.
God, he looked good.
Yeah,
creative cause.
Impressive.
Yeah,
yeah, gray. Pretty too, gray.
Really nice.
Yeah, I say pretty. My dad would shoot me. He didn't want anything. He didn't want anything but bays.
Is that right?
Yeah. If he had white on him, he said, "That damn Hereford."
Oh my God, that's funny.
Of course, you know,
well, your father did have to have a sense of humor.
He had to put up with me. I can't argue with that.
Well, Barrington Jones, the Energy Stud horses are doing good, huh?
Oh yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's had a heck of a year. Well, last year he had a good year. Yeah, he's got some nice horses.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
and I ran into Kelly Cassidy, who works over there in the Stallion Barn. He was telling me stories about Patton and some of the Airdrie horses that we ended up with. So Afternoon Delights, he showed me where Afternoon Delights took off a little chunk of his finger.
Is that right?
Yeah.
that you should be forewarned.
I am forewarned.
Yes,
he's awfully cute too.
Yeah, to make sure that's a carrot that you give.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what's going on, that old friend?
Well, we've been busy, busy, busy. Yesterday we had 3 busloads of people, and we have more people scheduled for today. Of course, it's a gorgeous day. I'm going to try and pawn off a couple of the tourists so I can slide over to Keeneland.
Nah.
Yeah.
Great day, Ray.
Great day. Yeah. Great day. Shadwell Mile today.
They're going to pack them in, boy.
It's going to be crazy over there. I'm bringing my folding chair, and I'm going to sit somewhere under a tree.
Yeah. You're supposed to bring your own beer when you bring a folding chair, you know.
I don't think you're supposed to do that over there. I think that's against the rules.
Well, I always tell people when they come to visit, bring your own beer and a folding chair.
But anyway, it does look great. And Get Stormy's in the Shadwell Mile. And Mary Sullivan has Carrie's Clown, and Carrie's Clown's at our farm. And she comes to visit them all the time. And Get Stormy's out of a Carrie's Clown mare. So we have a rooting old friend's interest in that.
Yeah.
Do we have time for me to tell a slightly long story?
Is it clean?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have a horse named Summer Attraction that I used to race up at Suffolk Downs. He's a $3,500 claimer. A friend of mine used to own him, named Tom Wilmot owned him and bought him as a 2-year-old for $5,000. And in 1997, the day of the Belmont Stakes, he makes his debut as a two-year-old and beats Jim Mosley's horse that Jim Mosley paid $310,000 for in a maiden race.
What was his name again?
Summer right? Attraction.
Summer Attraction, okay.
And so Summer wins that race, and this is when I decided that the trainer I was working for, Carlos, and I would no longer be my trainer, and Tom Wilmot would no longer be my friend, because they decide off that 2-furlong maiden win to run him in the Sanford Stakes at Saratoga.
Oh, my Lord.
So off we go. Tom Wilmot, to his credit, paid for everything, hotels, meals, the whole deal. And this horse is tiny.
I figured if you were going, somebody paid for it.
This horse was tiny, really tiny. Even when we were in the paddock, we were walking him around, and you looked at him, and you go, wow, these other horses are twice as... This race came up so tough that Favorite Trick scratched out.
Ooh.
Okay, but good. We did it. Anyway, the two...
Like it should have.
He's getting interviewed. Carlos is getting interviewed before the race. And one guy says to him, Mr. Figueroa, should I bet your horse? He was like 60-1. And he says, as Carlos leans back and he goes, how bad do you want to go to Honolulu? This other guy came up to him and asked him a question from the TV station. He goes, Mr. Figueroa, how are you going to feel if Summer Attraction wins the Sanford Stakes? And Carlos leaned back and he puffed his chest out and he said, if Summer Attraction win the Sanford Stakes, they're going to have to change the name to Sanford and Son.
Jeez.
So anyway, of course, the poor Summer runs last.
Yeah.
And I never saw a horse literally have a nervous breakdown. This horse was shaken after that race. I mean, he was his mind was fried. I'm walking him around afterwards, and I felt terrible. That's when I really started to feel bad for the horses, because his poor horse got hammered. So a year and a half later, he's still eligible for non-winners at two lifetime.
Okay.
All right. A year and a half later, at the bottom.
Yeah.
And by this time, I wasn't getting along that well with Tom Wilmot. He didn't like me that much either, so it was mutual. And I fired Carlos and got this very good trainer. So anyway, we find out that they're running Summer Attraction on Mother's Day at Finger Lakes in a $3,000 climber. Non-winners of two lifetime for New York breds. I decide we're going to go claim them. So I call my trainer up, and we get the truck, and we get the whole deal. Now, it's Saturday. I don't have that much cash around, so I got to have cash for the claim. So I go to one of those check cashing places with a handful of credit cards, and I just keep throwing the guy the credit cards. He keeps giving me a little cash. In the middle of these transactions, he calls Diane up, and he goes, Madam, are you aware that there's something very odd going on with your credit cards? And Diane says, oh, no, that's just my husband.
How long ago was this?
This was a long time ago. So, okay. So I would say it's about 12 years, 13 years ago now. So off we go to Finger Lakes. But first, it's Mother's Day, so I got to call my mother, and I got to tell her, you know, it's not going to work out that well. So I didn't know quite how to approach it, but I said to I finally called her, and I said, Ma, have you been watching the news? And she goes, yeah, why? I said, well, did you see the news about what they're doing with Mother's Day? She goes, what? I said, well, you know how it's always crowded at restaurants, and you can't get a parking place, and the service is bad, and it's loud, and all that kind of stuff. She goes, yeah? I said, well, what they've decided to do is split it up, like those presidential holidays. You know, going to move part of it to Monday. So if your last name begins with A, you stay on Sunday, but your last name begins with B, so you move to Monday. And without missing a beat, she said to me, does this have something to do with a horse? So we went up to Finger Lakes and claimed him and gave him a little time off. He won a few races for us, and he's been retired at he's been working at a horse farm up in Massachusetts as a lesson horse, and now this week he's coming back to me.
Oh my God.
I'm so excited. You know, I couldn't be more excited about any horse than getting this one. I'm telling you, this is beautiful.
What kind of pedigree did he have?
Oh, he sold for $5,000 in Florida. What do you think?
Well, hell, huh? You know, I've seen...
He was out of a New York sire named Dominate.
No.
And his dam... Of course not. And his dam was Summer Pasture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, yeah, there you go. I know. Yeah. You know, it's not exactly something that's going to jump off
the
page.
So he's coming to the farm. When's he going to arrive?
In about a week and a half.
Okay. Yeah. You paying for bringing him down?
No.
Sally Vance is going to take care of that.
I'm sorry I asked.
It's unbelievable.
That's foregone.
It's unbelievable.
I guess Sally is stuck again, huh?
They're fabulous. You can't say enough good things about them.
We were talking about Nicole's grandfather, great-grandfather. My God, her great-grandfather was my dad's best friend.
Wow.
Yeah, and a wonderful man. Pappy. He called everybody John. Everybody. He didn't have to worry about learning names. Everybody was John. He owned a little bar, you know. He'd come in, "Hey, John, how you doing?" The next guy come in, "Hi, John, how you doing?" Nobody minded.
I like it. That's a good name for a sitcom, John.
Yeah, right. Hey, you got something going on Monday night, too.
A week from Monday, right?
Oh, it's a week from Monday.
I hope so.
You told me I was going to show up.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. Well, this is really nice. Well, first of all, it's going to be Hall of Fame Day at Old Friends. We're going to have tours and all kinds of things in the afternoon, and then we've reinterred Skipaway over at the farm, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame Cemetery. So we're going to have a little memorial for him, and Bucky's going to come over and do the last call to post, and we've got a lot of really nice people coming over for that. John Veach and Carl Nasker is coming, and Pat Day and Chris McCarron and John Kruge. It's going to be nice. And then after that, we're all going down to Nick Ryan's Saloon down on Jefferson Street at 6 o'clock, and that's barbecue and beer and all kinds of fun, and it's Hall of Fame night at Nick Ryan's Saloon. It costs $50, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey,
it's a beautiful restaurant. I mean, if you haven't been there, they've expanded it. You've got a big porch now.
Yeah, it's real small from the outside.
Yeah, but you get in there, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's really, really a nice place. The food's terrific. A lot of the refugees from the original Black Tulip are over there.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And the food's excellent. And we're going to have a barbecue sauce contest.
They have a parking lot there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's around in the back.
Okay, I didn't know, you know, so you go to the back. Okay.
Yeah, you can go to the back.
It's right there on, what the hell's the name of that street?
Jefferson Street.
Well, I can't remember streets.
Just call it John.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Just call it John Street. That's it.
Right.
Take a left on John, then go straight about 2 miles on John, then take another right on John.
Works out really well.
You'll find it.
Right.
But it's going to be great, and if people would like to make reservations, you can call the office at 502-863-1775. The barbecue is going to be great. We're going to have, a contest, and a lot of interesting people are going to participate with their own barbecue sauces, including Kent DeSormo and some other people.
Oh, that sounds like fun, yeah. A lot of the Irish, I think it's tonight that their national team plays rugby. And they're all going downtown somewhere to watch it.
Well, we know where.
Well, yeah, it's 1 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I found out because Paul McAtee, Irish, of course, he's scheduled to go. I said, how are you going to get up at, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning?
He says he's not going to bed.
That's it, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have to. He wins races, and he's tough.
Yeah, he just won a race just I've got the list over here somewhere, but just won a race. Oh, it up at Hoosier.
Yeah.
With a nice filly. He's got a nice filly. Filly can run a little bit. Yeah, he manages Sandringham Farm out in Bourbon County. They're way out to Russell Cave out there.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Michael. You're gonna
pay some bills?
Yeah, I'm going to pay some bills, and I'm going to get Doc on here. I'm just trying to find out where in the hell I am.
We're going to start clocking you.
I need somebody to clock me. They look like they're pretty busy out there.
It's a beautiful day for it.
All right. They put the little new EMS girl to work. You drug her out there and sit her down. Holly's her name, the girl in blue coat.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. They drug her out there and sit her down and say, "Okay, you write these horses' names down."
Where's Ashley gone?
Ashley's in Keeneland.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
They got her. She drives along behind, following, the horses, in the ambulance. And she's used to driving ambulances, She breaks track records up and down Paris Pike. She does a lot of, works with the Paris fire department, down in Bourbon County. She's the EMS down there. And she'd drive these things with the siren going, shoom, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Little girl, you know.
Yeah.
Steer the hell out of her way.
That's great.
I'll tell you that.
Good thing she knows what she's doing.
Well, she does. She's all right. She's a great girl. There's a lot of sire power in the pedigree of First Defense. He's the son of Unbridled Song, Unbridled, out of a daughter of Caro. On the dam side, you find the names of Seattle Sioux, El Gran Señor, In Reality, Empire Maker, Chester House. Doesn't get any better than that. The dam of First Defense won Grade 1 stakes and over $894,000. His second dam won Grade 1 stakes, and she was Broodmare of the Year. Of course, that's the great Troussard. Dam of four Grade 1 stakes with his two top sires, a classic winner and a Grade 2 stakes winner. So with such a pedigree, First Defense couldn't miss, and he didn't. He won Grade 1 stakes sprinting, won stakes around two turns, consistently displayed brilliant speed, 7 furlongs of 120 and 4, 121 and 2, 122 and 1. That's at three different tracks. First crop yearlings by First Defense sold for $165,000, $110,000 at Keenan. His 2011 stud fee was $7,500 live foal. He stands at Judmont Farm with a proven sire, Grade 1 sire, as a matter of fact, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Gary DeWork or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. I want to talk about my good friend Tom Biederman. BiedermanBrokerage.com is his website, and his telephone number is 277-2030. And Tom is a real estate broker, as his name might imply. And he has got great people working for him, like Reggie Bushell and Joel Brown and Mike Morrison. Jonathan Noel, to mention just a few of them. He always has great listings. And he's got several places right out close to us, which, well, you know, maybe you don't like the neighbors, but it would be a really wonderful place. Got a great place over on Elizabeth Station. Hey, he's got the training center, Dr. Fox's training center, right next to the training center here for sale, listed. Right over here, yeah. And Doc is easing out of the business. I think he's going back to practicing, Doc.
Greg's smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he really is into a lot of progressive gadgetry.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to monitor things. And, of course, that's at the training level. When he gets back into practice, you know, he'll use those gadgets
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. Well, he was good. He did very well. He trained Tiz Deja Vu and a couple of horses right out of here. Did very well. Of course, when you have that, if you buy that training center over there, you have access. That's the right word.
Yes, sir.
Access to the training center here.
We're going to do this show with subtitles next week.
No. Well, anyway, if you want a list with somebody that's going to get the job done for you, don't worry about that. That's the clocker's phone ringing. Answer the damn phone out there. And if you want to list your place with your farm for sale for somebody that's going to get the job done for you, I suggest Tom Biederman. He's a wonderful guy. It's Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers, and that's Biederman Brokerage.com. And once again, his number is 277-2030. Now, I got to say something about my good friend Jim Fitzgerald, who came over and mowed my farm for me just the other day. Bless his heart. I love Jim Fitzgerald. He owns Not Griffin Farm. And he's a top horseman. Had a real good sale out there, you know. Jim, he sold the top price, out of Keeneland, of course. He sold the top price of yearling by Curling. He sold the top price of yearling by Warpass. He sold the top price filly by Corinthian. It was the second best overall. Sold the top price yearling by First Defense. Sold yearlings to rank in the top five prices in three different sessions. And all of those yearlings, every one of them was prepped right there at Not Griffin Farm, and nearly all of them were foaled and raised right there. So he had a good say. Top horseman, I know he is. He's got two of the best blacksmiths in the country. Of course, he came up under Lee Eaton, and Lee was so particular about a horse's feet. I've watched him look at sales yearling, and he'd drive a blacksmith crazy. You know, he said, just take. One more, hit it right there, just one more with a rasp, right here, you know. But by golly, man, they walk, you know, I mean, they were correct when he got through with them. And he's got Connor McCarthy and Derek Kelly working for him, and they're the, in my estimation, they're the best.
Connor's wonderful. He's been around a long time.
Yes, he has, yeah. Yeah. They're both Irish, but what the hell, you can get by that. You know? Well, anyway, so Jim had a good sale, and that's because he's got top help out there, and when one of his walks into the ring, man, you know it. I mean, he knows how to show a horse and everything. If you want him to help you out, he'd do anything in the horse business as far as that good, boarding, sales prep, public or private sales. That's Jim Fitzgerald, not Griffin Farm, and his number is 987-8032. All right, I've got Dr. Doug Byers. Drug him out of bed early this morning.
Yeah, we might slur a few words. Oh, so.
Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, we're back to subtitles.
How do you say asset? You
know? Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Doc.
Well, we're going to talk about Lyme disease.
Okay.
Now, the reason we're going to talk about it is it's always, for the last 10 years, been a media deal where the amount of Lyme disease and the consequences of people getting sick is pretty high in certain areas of the United States, mm-hmm. mostly northeastern part. And I can remember going up to look at a horse that was insured. Insurance company sent me up there, and the people were walking around with insecticide, tick insecticides, and spraying themselves and doing this and doing that, and wearing hairnets just to make sure a tick didn't get into their hair. And
I wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, well, why? Well, anyway, Lyme disease is caused by a bug called Borrelia. And Burkholderia is the
doctor. All ticks carry that, or is it certain?
No, the Ixodes tick or the deer tick is the most common.
Okay.
Okay. So, and that's IXODE.
And that one does not carry it, or does?
It does. It does. That's okay. The most common one to carry it, and a lot of the tick-borne diseases. That's the case where, you know, we worry about pyroplasmosis, we worry about other things, and there's only certain kind of ticks that carry that particular bug. So, the Borrelia is a spirochete. So, it's the same morphological features of syphilis in mm-hmm. people. So, anyway, the organism multiplies in the tick and converts itself into an infectious form. And that's kind of important because, you remember, we've talked about immunology before, and if you have a certain amount of stimulation, then your body recognizes that this doesn't belong in your body, and that's called self, where you recognize it's not part of you, it's not self. So then your antibody system goes in and clears it. Well, this organism kind of changes its morphology and then gets into the body through a tick bite and doesn't let you know that it's there till it sets up housekeeping and does what it wants to do. And so in people, of course, they're very, very judicious about mm-hmm. tick issues up in the Northeast primarily, but they get a bite and it gets a red wheal or just an irritating spot. And it's fairly sensitive, and if the tick is there, then you inspect that tick because it's kind of like a black widow spider. The bottom side of the female, which is the one that transmits the disease, has not an hourglass like a black widow, but a kind of a groove on its bottom side that tells you it's an Ixodes tick.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you see that, then people will get worried that they're going to get Lyme disease, and they'll put themselves on, or not put themselves on, but they'll see a physician, and the two drugs that are most commonly used are tetracycline, which we use a lot of, tetracycline injectable, and doxycycline. Now, the doxycycline is oral, and you are limited to how much you can really continue to give injections of tetracycline, and you always want to be careful with that stuff anyway because it's irritable if it gets outside the vein.
Mm-hmm.
So doxycycline becomes an approach that's taken in people. Now, in horses, and again, this one trainer asked me, should he test all his horses to make sure they don't have Lyme disease? Because then he'd put them on treatment. I told him no, and the reason I told him no is we just don't have that population of ticks down here. We've always been blessed. This area is relatively dilute of those, a lot of the organisms that carry bad things. So
it varies the density of these ticks too. I mean, one summer I remember we had dogs picking up ticks all the time.
Right.
This summer it wasn't very bad.
No, and usually the incidence of the Lyme disease occurs in the fall.
Okay.
The ticks start to get more active, and now that if they're on the deer, because they are deer ticks, mm-hmm. do they transfer? Well, don't know. Most likely they're in the brush or somewhere to drop onto a horse or a person.
Yeah.
So in any event, to the clinical signs in horses would be stiffness mm-hmm. without a lot of joint distension. They don't have their joints mm-hmm. blowing up. It has a tendency to, the organ has a tendency to go to the joints, and it goes to the collagen tissue and makes cysts around the joints and in the body. They also, because of this ability to irritate, they go from having a local irritation that you can run your hand over a horse or whatever, and you can see him, you know, just wince because it hurts, to what's called cutaneous, which means skin, hyperesthesia, which means high sensitivity. So you take your fingers and you run them over the neck and the back, and you can see that they're uncomfortable. So cutaneous hyperesthesia, same thing as you running your hand over an arm that has, you know, a tremendous amount of cutaneous sensitivity. Mm-hmm. So that would be part of it. The lameness part, they're not profoundly lame. They do have fever. So basically, if you were going to be worried about it, or a veterinarian down here was going to find one of these cases, he's going to have one that fits that bill. It's got some fever. It's got some cutaneous hyperesthesia. It's stiff, mm-hmm. Not particularly lame, but just doesn't want to go. Doesn't want to travel. So that would be part of it. The ticks can carry another disease called anaplasma or ehrlichia, which lives in the white cells, and so the horse gets low white cell counts as well. Mm-hmm. So both of those are sensitive to the tetracyclines and the doxycyclines. So that's probably the number one choice to diagnose it. You can run antibody titers. Take them to the diagnostic lab, or send them up to Cornell. They do the primary amount of testing, and they do Western blot and an ELISA test to get titers. The other thing that you could do is, I'm being harassed here.
Doc's groupies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go talk to her.
Yeah.
It's Betty Sue, home of the original. Abden Farm, home of the original old friends. I better go talk to her. She's a little agitated.
Anyway, they use these antibody titers. The other thing is the organism can actually be in the bloodstream. And again, if it looks like syphilis, it's a corkscrew.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make a smear of the blood, and they can see this corkscrew, and it also is passed in the urine. So that means you actually have found the organism, and there's no question what it is.
Yeah.
So the antibody titers are very confusing because they can mean exposure, just like an EPM. You know, a lot of horses can be exposed. We don't have a whole lot of testing that goes on down here, but when they do test, we don't even find much in the way of exposure.
Yeah.
So so you would treat these animals for a couple of months. The incubation period is probably 2 to 4 months, long incubation period before you get clinical signs after infection. Yeah. And then if you treat them successfully, if they did have a high titer, which would be greater than 110, then you would run it again in 2 months. You know, normally we do testing in 2 weeks, but that you would wait 2 months, and it should go down below that 110 level after treatment.
Okay.
Your treatment's going to be long-term, at least a month, maybe longer.
All right.
And so, they it's treatable. Now, with people, the fear there is this can migrate around the collagen near the spinal cord. So people would become neurological, and that was a serious problem. And some horses can become neurological. That's been described. Tom Divers up at Cornell has written up some that have become neurological cases when they were presented and wound up having Lyme disease.
Okay.
All right.
Very good, Doc. That was interesting.
Okay.
Well, I'll try to avoid it myself.
Yeah, watch out. Don't get ticked off. Or get the ticks off.
Yeah, one or the other. Okay. Well, Albertus Maximus ran a mile of 1:33.2 to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup mile. That was at Oak Tree. He also won the Grade 1 Don Handicap at Gulfstream. So he was a Grade 1 stakes winner on dirt and a Grade 1 stakes winner on artificial. He won at the highest level. He earned over $1,328,000. He's going to stand his first season at stud next year free to approve mares. And that bears repeating. Free. To approve mares. Albertus Maximus is one of 2 millionaires, side by the $3 million winner, Albert the Great, and he's out of the good race mare, Chase the Wild Wind, who earned nearly $100,000, and she's a daughter of 49er. The second dam, Race the Wild Wind, won Grade 1 stakes, earned over $458,000, produced 2 stakes winners, a Group 1 stakes winner in France, and a Group Stakes winner in England, and another Group Stakes winner in England, and Group 1 placed in France. She's also the grandam of Here Comes Ben, winner of the Grade 1 four-goal at Saratoga. Albertus Maximus, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner from a family loaded with Grade 1 performers, is at Shadwell Farm. For more information, get in touch with Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, Lexington Equine Surgery in sports medicine, now let me tell you where they are. Let me tell you what they are. First, it's an outpatient facility. Then they do, you call them up, you make an appointment, and they meet you and take care of you and send you home. They do arthroscopy, fractures, limb deformities, lameness, and they're foremost in the regenerative medicine treatments also, PRP and stem cell retreatments and things like that. Dr. Wes Sutter's out there. He's a board-certified surgeon. Of course, Dr. Bill Bernard, who was with Rudin Riddle for some 17 years and retired to do this. And Dr. Lori Bidwell, who was also over there at Rudin Riddle. She's a board-certified anesthesiologist. And it's they let you know, here's an important thing, they let you know what it's going to cost right up front. And there are no add-ons, so there are no surprises when you get the bill. And the goal is to improve great service at a reasonable price. And they'll let you know what that price is. That's the website is LexingtonEquine.com. The phone number is 967-0770. And that's Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. They're on Georgetown Pike, right where the Ironworks Pike empties onto Georgetown. You can't miss it.
The American
Park, the dispute stakes, was won by Katie Now, a 4-year-old filly by Tisnow. Excuse me, I lost my voice. By Tisnow, bred in Kentucky by White Fox Farm and sold as a yearling to Keeneland for $175,000. Katie Now has placed in 2 stakes at Saratoga this year. She's one of 8 2011 stakes winners by Tisnow. And that list includes the brilliant Grade 1 stakes winner, Tisway. He's going to the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Tisnow has sired 8 Grade 1 stakes winners, among them the versatile Colonel John. Like his great sire, he stands at Quinstar Farm. We all right over there?
Okay, just redo the spot. Is Sally playing? Or go to the spot? Just do the spot over.
Do the spot over?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, last week at Belmont Park, the dispute stakes was won by Katie Now, a 4-year-old filly by Tisnow. Bred in Kentucky by White Fox Farm, sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $175,000. Katie now has placed in two stakes at Saratoga this year. She's one of eight stakes winners of 2011 by Tis Now, and that includes the Grade 1 stakes winner Tis Way, who's being pointed to the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, Tis Now has sired eight Grade 1 stakes winners, among them the versatile Colonel John. Lucky who, like his great sire, stands at Windstar Farm. Now, Colonel John sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22-2 to break his maiden as a two-year-old. Then he won stakes and ran second in Grade 1 stakes in his next two starts. At three, he won three graded stakes, including two of the most coveted races in North America, the Grade 1 Trappers, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, one on dirt, one on artificial. Came right back in four and won the Wicker Stakes at Del Mar, getting a mile on the turf and won 32-3. He earned over $1,779,000. First foals arrived this year. So for more information about the Windstar stands, call Robert Hammond, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Steve, you at home or at Keeneland?
I'm at home.
Okay. If I can shut up Can Do there, we'll get rolling on this. Well, golly, there's so many stakes out there today, and we're running short of time, but let's do, how many grade ones we got out there today?
Three.
Oh, my Lord. Well, let me have you.
The Breeders' Futurity and the Shadwell.
Well, let's go with the Breeders' Futurity first.
All right. Big field in that race, Ursel. They drew 16. For that, it'll scratch down to 14, going a mile on the 16th. And it's one of those fields that's almost everybody's coming off a win. It's really, really tough. I finally landed on Majestic City. This is a colt that has come in and won his first three starts, three in a row out west, and then they sent him to the Grade 1 to the Del Mar Futurity last time out. It's colt by City Zip, and he just got beat in there, got beat in the neck, and coming back today, he's worked forwardly after that race, and I don't think he'll have any problem stretching out. This will be the first start around two turns, but I don't think he'll have any problem with it. And I look for him to come running off the pace. Garrett Gomez has the mount, and I'm going to give him the edge today. The seven-horse shared property is a gelding by Scat Daddy for Tom Amos. He's 2-for-2, and had trouble last time and still was able to win. So he showed a little grit in that race, and so I took him in the two hole. And then the 11 horse Take Charge Indy broke his maiden and then stepped up, and first race against winners ran well. He picks up blinkers today, and it looks like he's probably the best of the speed. I think he'll probably be the one to catch. So I'm going to go 5-7-11 in the Breeders' Futurity.
All right. Give me the 1-2-3s in your other two.
All right. In the First Lady, that is a mile on the turf for fillies and mares. We're going to go in there 12-3-1. That's Never Retreat, Dabron, Bay to Bay. And in the Shadwell, that's also a mile on the turf for colts and geldings. We're going to go in there with Zoffany, the horse shipping from overseas. Ran against Frankel, a couple other real nice ones over there. Zoffany, the 4, Wise Dan, the 7, Gio Ponte, the 5, 4-7-5 in the Shadwell.
All right, great day racing out there, Steve.
It will be.
Yeah, boy. Okay. Listen, I really appreciate it.
All right, Russell.
This has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet that's published by my good friends over at Briss, and you can find it wherever you find a daily racing form. And
actually, Ursula, they're in Keeneland. It's just going to be at Keeneland. So.
Oh, is it Keeneland now?
It'll be at Keeneland all during the meet.
Oh, okay. Very good. Where do you find them at Keeneland?
At the program stand.
Okay. That's even better. So when you go into Keeneland, pick up your Kentucky handicapper sheet, and then you'll have somebody else to blame if he doesn't pick all those all 10 winners.
There you go.
Steve, thanks, my friend.
All right, Arthur.
Talk to you later. Well, Arch is the sire of Grade 1 stakes winners around the world. His progeny has won Grade 1 stakes at Oaklawn, Churchill Downs, Del Mar, Woodbine, Belmont, Saratoga, Royal Ascot, Newmarket, and in South Africa. He's the sire of the 2010 Eclipse Award winner, Blame, and he's the sire of the 2011 Grade 1 stakes winner, Arch, 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 who's going to stand his first season at Stud at Spencer Farm next year. Arch, Arch, Arch broke his maiden sprinting as a two-year-old. He won the Sugar Bowl stakes at the fairgrounds in his second start at two. Then at three, he won the Grade 3 Southwest stakes at Oaklawn and the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby over a field that included Kentucky Derby runner-up Nero and the Grade 1 stakes winner, The Factor. Arch, Arch, Arch suffered a career-ending injury in the Kentucky Derby when he stumbled leaving the gate. Saddle also slipped at the same time. But he brings to Stud proven Grade 1 performance, a superior pedigree, and stunning confirmation. His dam is a stakes place winner of nearly $300,000, and she's out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Pattern Step, a daughter of the great Nureyev. And there are 16 black type performers under Pattern Step's name, including two other stakes winners by Arch. It's a running family. Grade 1 stakes winner Arch, Arch, Arch by Arch. Grade 1 stakes winner Court Vision by Gulch. Grade 1 stakes winner Dublin by Fleet Alex. Grade 1 stakes winner Patty O'Prado by El Prado. And Grade 1 stakes winner Tis Way by Tis Now are the new additions to the Spendthrift Stallion Register for 2012. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Felder, Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, have a gear friend
no time. All righty. What we got, about 6 minutes left? In case y'all missed it up front, I'm going to wish Ed Fallon, my friend Ed Fallon, Dr. Ed Fallon, I should say, formerly of Haggard, Davidson, and McGee, nephew of Dr. Charlie Haggard, one of the founders of... And he's kind of a chip off the old block there in a way. Both of them were kind of...
Careful.
Well, they had good senses of humor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some of the jokes Dr. Charlie used to tell would never be told on the air. But Ed was a whole lot like him, and he was a very good vet. Dr. Charlie did my dad's vet work out of Dixiana, and then when Dr. Charlie retired, Ed did it. And... he started out doing mine, but then, you know, when he's doing Dixiana and all these big horse farms around here, he wasn't going to fool around my bad horses. So he handed me over to Dave Parrish. And then Dave Parrish got busy and handed me over to Rachel Penstein.
She laughed.
And she, and down through the years, you know, I mean, I guess it's kind of
funny.
Somebody new could come in. And they do our vet work.
Funny.
But Ed's a great guy and a superior veterinarian. And happy birthday, Ed.
On the 10th. Yes.
Well, what the hell? That's close enough. When you get to be as old as Ed and I, well, you know, what the heck? For a few days, one way or the other.
Right.
Well, a few years, as far as that goes. We went to high school together, of course. At it. Lafayette. We were both Lafayette generals.
Oh, gee. Good.
I had to go a whole lot further. He lived over on the south end of town on Beaumont Farm, and I had to catch a bus at Dixiana, go to Russell Cave, transfer buses there, go to Bryan Station, which was a junior high at the time, transfer a bus there, and then go all the way out to Lafayette. And
poor, pitiful thing. Poor. Uphill in the snow.
Yeah. Hell,
both ways.
Hell, Ed could just about jog home, you know. All righty. What else are we going to do here? Kill about 5 minutes. We did the show today live, doing the clockers, and had a little interruption, but you all got it done out there all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't have to clock it up. Well, I was there from 5:30 until 8 o'clock.
Yes, and next week, starting Tuesday, the track opens at 6, not 5:30.
We get an extra half hour.
Burn that in your brain. We get an extra half hour sleep, and then when time changes, we get our hour back. So it'll be an hour and a half more we can sleep.
She's been complaining about losing all that
sleep
since
fall.
Since March.
Yes, since March. Right. Oh, and don't forget. I'm learning how to put this show up myself. It'll be up on UrsulaEllis.com. And, of course, it's live stream, WLXG.com. What else? Live streamed all over the world. They say millions of people in China wake up. Oh, no, it's daytime. No, it's nighttime. Millions of people in China wake up to listen to this stuff live. And next week we're on at regular time because there's an off week. And no football. When's Midnight Madness? Do you know, Ressi?
Next Friday.
Next Friday, the 14th.
We've got a pregame show coming up next with Matthew Lawrence and Craig Yeast.
There you go. Call them up and bug them.
I never will forget when Craig caught that touchdown against Alabama and ran it in and won the game, and they tore down. Ah, that's the first time they beat Alabama in my lifetime, I think.
Hey, he needs to suit up. What? Come on.
Yeah.
Forget this radio gig. Get over there. Get that close up.
I understand he's doing a really good job coaching over at Bryan Station.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
And played for the Bengals, too, you know.
Yeah.
And a little bitty guy. You know, well, yeah. I say a little bitty, but compared to most of those monsters out there, he's a little bitty.
Yeah. That's great.
I think he ran some, I can't remember if he ran kickoffs back and punts back for UK, but I think he might have for the Bengals.
I don't know, but isn't it fun now to watch the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, with Cobb up there.
Yeah.
We try to tune in and watch him.
Yeah, you're going to do the people that won last week, maybe? Our friends here at the training center?
Oh, God, I've got a bird in the debris here. The Derbris. Uh-oh, they're playing our song.
Uh-oh, hurry.
All right. Since the first of the month now. Jesse Caudle, Marco Castaneda, Billy Harden, Eduardo Caramori, Bobby Sturgeon, and Paul McAtee, all saddle winners of most of them at Hoosier, well, all of them at Hoosier Turfway Mountaineer.
Okay, so, and next week we're on at regular time, 10 o'clock, live and in living color, I guess.
That's it. So thanks for listening to this mess, and we'll talk to you next week.